Hi, and welcome to episode 346 of No Crying in Baseball, the milk or wine episode. My name's Patty. I'm here with my friend Potty Mouth. Hi, Potty Mouth.
Hey there. I do know which side of that, it's not an equation. Which side of that?
Which choice?
Yes.
Which choice you're going to go for? Sure. Yeah. Which option?
Yeah, it's pretty clear.
It is pretty clear. Hey, you look good in your Celtics cap.
Yes. So I am very much hoping that after we record here, I toddle on down to Capital One Arena, right, in D.C.?
I don't know what it's called anymore.
Yeah, so that it took us a while because we were trying to look it up and we're like, Verizon? No, that's not it. Well, it's the Capitals who are there.
Remember
is
when
that
it was
right?
MCI Center?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's how old we are.
Whoever is the sign painter there is like, well, has a lot of work ahead of them.
Yeah.
Or behind them, or both, maybe.
In both directions, sure, why not?
So the Wizards are hosting the beloved Celtics tonight. And the Celtics have already clinched their playoff spot, so that's exciting. So I'm hoping that we at least see the status for some of it. Like, I'm thinking, you know, they might be getting a little bit of rest now, but I really want to see Jrue Holiday and the rest of the gang. So we'll be checking for tickets right after here because I'm going to attempt that last minute thing.
I don't know. I'm thinking that she might be doing that while I'm talking. It could happen.
Actually, that could happen. That could happen. Yeah, it's like it's trying to find that sweet spot. And dear listeners, if any of you have like magic around when to buy last minute tickets, like how last minute you go, because I've been looking at this for weeks, right? And then yesterday is when it started getting actually reasonable. And last night I thought, there's all these tickets left and it's a decent price. I'll just get it first thing in the morning. And then it bumped up this morning. So I don't know if it's like a day before you got to do it or if like when we stop recording, it's going to be the magic time. But we will see.
Yeah, can I tell you that I've been looking at O's opening day tickets because they've only sold opening day tickets to season ticket holders because so many people want them.
That's so
I mean,
good.
It can be like any of the Birdland memberships. It could be like the 13-game package, which now I'm like, should I have just done that? But so there aren't any available for sale to the general public until you go to like the resale markets, at which point they're $200 or more for what I usually go to for the cheap seats. Where we go for like $15 to $18.
Wow.
I am not willing.
That's a lot.
To do that. But wow. So that's there. So, hey, any O's fans out there that want a plus one, you know, and have a reasonably priced ticket, I would love to meet you in person and go to opening day. What else? Oh, hey. So we watched the spring breakout game, the first one, the one that was like the supposed to be like the premier one, you know.
Right. It was actually the second though, because the first one started at 6
a little earlier.
And it started
at
7.
This was like the prime time one, right? You know, O's Pirates number one versus number one, all the hype. It was run terribly. Like, you know, it was supposed to be really focused on these prospects, and it was really just another spring training game with none of the starters. Like the commentators weren't prepped for this. They didn't spend, like, they should have at least talked about each batter to some extent to talk about why they were important as prospects, whether they were from their team or not their team. That didn't matter. But it wasn't presented. It wasn't delivered in the way that it was initially promoted, and I was disappointed. I did not watch any other ones. What did you?
I mean, I thought that game was a lot of fun to watch. So, but by not any starters, I mean they had their big names in there, and Paul.
Well, the prospects, But what I'm saying is, but they treated it like any spring training game without without their starting lineup as part of it. Like the guys who are going to be on the opening day roster. For sure. So it was like lesser players, but they were treating it like a regular game as opposed to we are highlighting all of these prospects. And here's what you need to know about this guy. And here's what you need to know about that guy. They didn't do any of that stuff.
Right. That they should have made it special.
They presented it like a futures game.
Yeah.
And the futures game does that.
Right. And their commentary. I mean, what I was definitely disappointed on is the amount that they were just talking to somebody without talking about the play that was going on. So that was super frustrating.
We had no idea who was bat half the time.
Yeah. Exactly, because there were like no titles even that said that. The highlight definitely, I thought, was Paul, and now we know how to say it, except for I forget it, Skeens, right? Paul Skeens, who's just a huge young man.
Yes.
And he threw all over 100,000 miles an hour.
Every pitch was over 100 miles an hour. Right, yeah.
Yeah, it was. They were a bazillion miles an hour. But he's going to be amazing.
Yeah,
so that's
he sure is.
Exciting to see. But he's probably not going to be on opening day. I think he'll be up with the Pirates at some point this season. But that was definitely the highlight. So right now, as we speak, the baby But because it was kind of fun to say the baby birds and the baby bucks. Like, mm-hmm. I like the baby thing.
Sure, so
I was
of course
like, what's going on here with Red Sox and Atlanta? It's like the baby Bo Sox. That sounds too much like Botox, and that's bad.
Yeah,
that doesn't work. All right, so the little Red Sox and the Atlanta guys are playing right now, and it was tied up. Yeah, it's tied in the teeny tiny hammers. What do you call those? A peen hammer? Yes. Like those little ones. So I was going to try to watch it right before recording, and at least on Sling TV, like we haven't, you know, shelled out for MLB TV yet because there's some deal with the phone and it's going to be free, but we can get some of these on Sling, and it said, click here for Red Sox against Atlanta, and it kept going to Red Sox Yankees, which was lovely because the Red Sox were winning 9-0 at the end of the first.
That's fun.
That was, I mean, I just kept saying, it's only spring training, but that is a really cool thing to say.
Sure, sure.
And it just never, so I couldn't see it. Mm. So I don't know what happened. I kept trying. Didn't work.
Yeah, so I like the idea of the spring breakout, but from what the N of one that I saw, they just didn't deliver on what they presented it to be.
Yeah.
So I think they could do better on that. And if they need me to consult on things they should do to make it better, I am available for the low, low price of pay me really almost anything.
Some beer would be good.
Sure.
And I tried to do another N. I tried to watch the Red Sox and they just wouldn't let me. So yeah, read unprofessionalism above. However, spring training is exciting. And yay for Joey Votto. We talked about him last week going to the Blue Jays and hoping good things for him because he's, you know, got an invite and he could end up in the minor league. But his first at-bat, he got a home run off of Zach Wheeler, which so like nothing shabby there. It was contested. It hit something. Like it didn't clear the wall, but they called it a home run. So it's a home run. It's a home run. And yay, Joey Votto. I'm just happy for him.
That's a definite, see, I told you.
Yeah.
In Joey's favor.
Yeah, I hope.
Hey, so we are drinking.
Oh, right.
So you're warned. You're forewarned. We're drinking something called the Blarney Stoned because we're coming to you on March 17th from Black Flag Brewing Company. It's a dry hopped red IPA. Usually I don't like reds, but something about dry hopped and IPA makes it all better. So it's very, very delicious. And it's got sort of like a hard rockin' leprechaun on the can. So it really was the right pick,
yeah.
I think.
It's all about the label.
Yeah.
And somehow with our pregame banter and our intro banter, I'm almost at the bottom of this, but I think I can milk it through the intro.
If only you can milk it or wine it.
Right. Oh, all right.
See?
Yep.
Oh my gosh. On today's show, happy St. Patty's Day. We've got pitchers featuring hardships and trades. We've got yay for Mikey T. We've got our pitching flocks with brand new stupid rules. We've got a language lesson, the Soul Series, and a big reveal in Korea, and the wisdom of Nick Castellanos. Cheers.
Cheers. And in case those of you were slow on the uptake like I was when Patty first came in, St. Patty's Day. This is Patty's Day. So we are here celebrating Patty today and every day on No Crying in Baseball.
That's how I like it.
Yeah. And she's definitely a saint.
Yeah.
For putting up with me.
Well, okay. All right. I should argue, but
No. All right. So, I don't know. Speaking of patriotism, sort of, I guess.
Were we? In any way whatsoever? A nice Polish girl claiming an Irish holiday? Was that what we're talking about?
It works.
Okay. All right.
We're just going to milk
Blarney
it.
Blarney Stone.
Right. We're gonna milk everything or wine everything today. It's going to work out
we're
just
gonna
fine.
We're going to wine about milking everything. It's going to be great.
All right. I want to talk about being responsible for your country. And Josh Winkowski, a Red Sox relief pitcher at this point, was in competition for a rotation spot because, you know, everybody is really in the Red Sox dugout these days because we don't have any pitchers. And he actually lives in Fort Myers, Florida, which is where the Red Sox spring training is. So convenient. And he was called for jury duty last Thursday for the first time in his 12 years of living in Fort Myers. So wouldn't it figure he's not called in the offseason. He's called on one of the days where he is starting to win a place in that rotation. So as he's checking off the little jury duty questionnaire, he said that one of the questions was occupation and would this trial be a hardship? I said, I'm actually in the middle of spring training, so... And apparently they did consider that a hardship, and he got the day off and pitched and gave up six runs. Yeah. In a 6-1 loss against the Phillies, and officially today, Alex Cora announced that he is going to be in the bullpen. He did not win a spot. And I'm thinking, you know, maybe that's a little bit of kismet right there.
Well, bullpen, he's on the roster.
Yeah, I mean, he's on the right. But he was trying to be a starter. Yeah. He was trying to be
All
a starter.
Right. All right.
And despite blowing off jury duty, I'm thinking like maybe
he didn't blow off jury duty. True. He responded.
I mean,
blowing off would be like, I never saw anything.
Yeah. So he's somewhat responsible.
Okay.
Yeah, but it just, we'll see. I'm hoping that he does very well out of the bullpen for us because God knows we're going to need a bullpen because the starters are not very strong. And as I had hinted last week, Giolito is in fact out for the entire season. They're trying to put this sort of like sunny side on it and saying, though, he doesn't need Tommy John surgery. He's not getting Tommy John surgery. He's getting a brace procedure, which is apparently less invasive with shorter rehab. Mr. Potty Mouth voiced his skepticism last night because he said he's still out for the whole season. And if he got Tommy John surgery, he would be out for the season. So what's the fucking difference?
Might be a lot longer, though, with Tommy John. Because
right.
Recovery periods really, you know, vary by owner.
Bingo. That's it. And so with Tommy John, it could have been into 2025. Whereas this time, I mean, what Mr. Potty Mouth was also concerned about, he's like, what is this brace procedure? I haven't heard about this. Heard all about Tommy John surgery. But we're just hoping that it is a very good procedure that's going to keep him, pitching for 2025. He feels bad about it, though, because he came in just, I mean, you know, there was the one big move the Red Sox did in the offseason for pitching. He comes into spring training feeling good, and then he'd get hurt. He got hurt. So he said, I'd say the biggest mental hurdle is that feeling of letting people down. So as shitty as we feel, he feels a lot shittier. And then he said, I guess a Tommy John surgery only lasts for so long. And he already had one in 2012. And this is where I just started feeling super shitty about what pitchers are going through these days. I mean, it seems like you're going to get Tommy John surgery at some period. And is that a good thing? Is that, like, how is that in the cumulative effect that this is just kind of like an expected procedure? Heather Linnington Noble, who's an amazing O's fan on X, put out a tweet, I think it was yesterday, where she looked at the 9 top pitchers with the lowest ERA in 2023 and last year. And of those 9, only one is currently slated for opening day. So Blake Snell, you know, between unsigned and injured, number one, Blake Snell, unsigned. Gerrit Cole is injured. He's probably just got a month or two. Sonny Gray might be ready for opening day, but it's not sure. Then there's Bradish from the O's, who's not going to be ready for opening day. Cody Senga from the Mets is injured. Gosman's injured. Jordan Montgomery's not signed. And Verlander is rehabbing and might be back. And then along with that, like, we've heard about a lot of other pitcher injuries. Just today I saw Yuri Perez from the Marlins is out. And the one that really freaked me out was the Brewers closer, Devin Williams, has 2 stress fractures in his back.
Ooh.
So from pitching, apparently.
Yeah, well,
so
yeah.
What kind, like, just this over 100 miles an hour. And then looking at Paul Skeens, his young guy, throwing all these pitches that fast. How long can a human body do this?
When we talk about our pitching flocks, remind me to talk about that a little bit, because that's really important to one of the pitchers that I've picked, how to protect against those things. And yeah, you've just given a couple of examples of how things go badly. Another bit of pitcher news, Dylan Cease was traded by the White Sox to the Padres, and it's good for everybody. Actually,
that's so nice.
Because,
I love it when everybody's happy.
Yeah, like the White Sox are clearly rebuilding, and they wanted to, like, they needed to really pump up their farm system.
Yeah.
And Dylan Cease is still under 2 years of team control, so they got him for a bargain. They're going to pay him like $8 million this year as opposed to what the free agent starting pitchers have been going for. So the Padres were able to, you know, manage their salary expenditures because of that. The White Sox got 2 pitching prospects and outfielder Samuel Zavala and pitcher Stephen Wilson. So they're happy because they've really, you know, pumped things up a little bit. Padres are happy because they've got an ace.
Yeah.
They got a bargain ace.
Yeah.
So good for everybody. Yay for that. Good for us for one game.
Yes.
Is,
I'm so excited about this.
Our dear, dear, beloved Michael A. Taylor, who we watched come up from when he was a pup with the Nationals and win the World Series with the Nationals, and then go over to to, I went, last year was Minnesota, it was the Royals.
Yeah,
so he was my boyfriend when he was with the Royals in 2021. And then he went to Minnesota where he went with them to the AL Central title. So he's had a pretty good, solid career. Just signed a $4 million one-year contract with Pittsburgh.
Yay.
They're looking at him to play right field. Two things about Michael A. Taylor, because they're set everywhere else, but right field has been a question for them. He's my favorite bobblehead. Because that was the Game of Thrones bobblehead where he's defending the wall. So it involves a dragon and the wall from Game of Thrones. So it's pretty darn cool. And the Nats are hosting Pittsburgh for their home opener, to which we will be going. So we'll get to welcome Mikey T back to Nats Park for the first time since he left the Nationals.
Since the World Series.
This is very exciting.
He's going to get Nats Park.
Such a welcome. He is so beloved by the fan base. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm envisioning some video montage. We got to get there early. Well, we got to get there early anywhere.
Because it's going to be like home opening day, so yay.
And beer lines will be long.
And, well, that too. That too. Hey, you, can I just say that Potty Mouth approached me with a friendly amendment to our stupid rules that only apply to the two of us for our fantasy team. And I agreed. I also, was I in a weakened state? And I just didn't want to deal with it.
Did I just take advantage of you?
Maybe. No, you know, you made sense. You really did hit me with logic.
Well, there's a shock.
Maybe I was stunned by the fact that the things you told me made sense to me. No, that's not what I mean. That's cruel. I don't mean to be mean. I'm just saying it was not. Well thought out. It was well delivered. And so over text, Potty Mouth negotiated a brand new rule that applies only to the two of us for the fantasy team and for pitchers. You want to tell them what it is?
Sure. So we usually pick one flock of pitchers because we can't go guy by guy like we do with the position players, because that would just take too long. The season's about to start and we got to play some fantasy ball. But what I realized was that we have been at a serious disadvantage on our fantasy team, because when our pitching team has a day off, all of our pitchers have a day off. And so I thought, how can we mitigate that? And this is actually, so I both get the credit and the blame. In I think our first season or second season of doing fantasy, we did two teams of pitchers. Yeah, if you go back into the notes, and I actually suggested that we go down to one because I didn't think we had time for two, because I think in the first year we did 1 week on one flock and 1 week on the second. I'm just going to lie with exact figures, but someday we'll have a podcast librarian who can go back into the archives.
We used to call that an intern. We've upgraded the position. Yes. The pay is still the same.
Right. So if you care to go into that, just let us know when we tell you how to contact us. However, I figured for this year, might as well go back to the one. I mean, we've been doing one AL and one NL all through the offseason, so we might as well do that with the pitchers.
Doesn't she sound convincing when she talks like that?
Here we go. I'm reasonably coherent. And Yahoo allows for two starters, four any pitcher, and two relievers, which equals eight. And so I figured, all right, four and four. So if you get four pitchers on one team, four on the other. Although I did leave that open. Like if we have two teams, each one of us can decide how many pitchers we wanted to pull from each team. So I'm not even sure who you pulled or how many you pulled.
So can I just say that? So the thing that we're testing, the data that we're testing, is that one of the reasons we pulled everybody from the same team is we would always have a starting pitcher in the rotation, which may not be the case if we only have two starting pitchers from each of two teams as opposed to everybody from one team.
Right. So we will see how that washes out.
If
we do worse than we did last year, then we will know why. All right, so I chose two teams, and I chose them kind of randomly. I looked at some Fangraphs stats, and then I looked for a guy in the top 10 teams of Fangraphs who I felt some sort of connection to, and then I looked into it and did my old, Google scandal thing to make sure that they were all decent human beings, or at least as far as Google knows. And this is what I came up with. The Mariners, who I think is just a lovely team. I'm very pro Seattle. And starting pitcher Luis Castillo, I've been admiring since his days with the Reds, because he has fabulous QHAR, fabulous quality hair above replacement. Plus, he is kind of lights out. He's a good guy. Although when you're Googling him, make sure you do not Google, because if you Google Luis Castillo baseball scandal, you might get the Marlins Mets second baseman who is caught up in a 2019 drug trafficking bust. And why somebody who gets any sort of Major League Baseball player... Major League Baseball player pay would you know, mess around with trying to get more money trafficking drugs is beyond me. Anyway, that was not this really nice Luis Castillo. He was traded at the deadline in 2022 from the Reds for shortstop Noel V. Marte, who actually, I believe, just got suspended for drug stuff, the other kind of drug stuff. That kind of drug stuff. Along with shortstop Edwin Arroyo, right-handed pitcher Levi Stout, and right-handed pitcher Andrew Moore. So what I love about Luis Castillo, when I was looking for like that one cute thing about each guy, in the offseason, so he's from Baní in the Dominican Republic, which is apparently also where Pedro Martinez, you know, one of my idols, is from. And he was at a restaurant in Baní, ran into Pedro Martinez. Well, then didn't like run into, but saw him in the restaurant and ran over to him and asked him if he would show him how to do his changeup. Ran to his car in the parking lot, grabbed a baseball, which he had in, of course, which he happened to have his car, and ran over to Pedro Martinez so he could teach him the grip for his changeup.
I guess that means he said, yes, I will show you.
Yes. What Martinez actually said is, what I remember most about that encounter is how quickly he ran out to his car and grabbed the ball. I was like, okay, yeah, I'd be more than happy to do that. So yay, Pedro, and yay, Luis Castillo, for thinking of that. I wanted another starting pitcher, and I just looked at the other four that were left, and I wasn't sure which one to go with. So I actually looked up how they're doing in spring training, and Brian Wu had four perfect innings on Thursday. So I was like, all right, he's the guy I'm going to put on my lineup. Looked into him a little more, and his debut last year, he just debuted last season. His first outing, he let up 6 runs on 7 hits in 2 innings against the Rangers. So not a great debut. However, he pulled it off, and 2 weeks later, totally turned it around and had a 12-pitch inning against the top of the White Sox lineup. He had Tommy John surgery in 2021. So by the Lucas Giolito timeline, he's good for a whole bunch more years. And I'm hoping the best for Brian Wu. Also, looked for familiar names, and my other anyone pitcher who is a reliever is Austin Voth, who they're hoping is going to be like a long middle guy. So when they need somebody to eat up a bunch of the middle innings, they're going to go to Voth. So I figure I should use him a lot. He was in here in our backyard. We saw him a bunch. He was with DC from 2016 to 22. With the O's in 23. So we got to see him. He got DFO'd before the playoffs with the O's, but he had been not doing that well that season, had a lot of injuries, including 2 months out. So I'm hoping that he has a bounce back year. He is a native of Washington State, so he's kind of going home, and he is on a 1 year, $1.25 million contract out of options. So he is either there or he is gone. I did take a quick liking to their closer, Andres Munoz, who also has excellent hair. He is he's Mexican and signed with the Padres at age 16, was brought up at age 20, throwing over 100 miles an hour, clocked at 103 at age 20. So yes, I am worried about his arm as well. His family is adorable and they're all in. His brother does personalized scouting reports, you know, just in case he can't get the good stats from, you know, Mariners scouting staff.
Sure.
But his brother goes out there and does it with him, and his other brothers and his wife helped, although they get like extra credit because they did this while he was in AAA. No, AA, even lower than that. So not quite as easy to get those stats when you're in AA. They also helped him recuperate from Tommy John surgery in 2020. So, you know, is worried about his arm as I am. At least I'm hoping he's got a little bit of a warranty on it. And they've been looking lately at Mets closer Edwin Diaz, who I adore, to get some pointers. So, you know, hopefully the siblings and their advice will help Andres Munoz anchor down my closing stuff on my fantasy team.
I like it. So Potty Mouth's proposal, which as commissioner I accepted, also allowed me to dabble with the Orioles a little bit. Who, if Kyle Bradish and John Means were not on the IL to start the season, I would have considered pretty deeply for picking as my flock. But now that I can cherry pick a little bit, I am going to use the Orioles for my AL pitching flock. So starting with Corbin Burnes, who's the ace. He's 29. He was drafted by Milwaukee in the fourth round, 2016. He's a three-time All-Star. He was the Cy Young winner in 2021, led the National League in strikeouts in 2022. He's also the player, was the player rep to the MLBPA. So I do appreciate the whole labor situation there. So that was with the Brewers. He was traded to Baltimore in February, which was kind of a surprise, although mm-hmm. he got burned a little bit in arbitration. Burns got burned in arbitration with Milwaukee, and so he was a little unhappy with ownership. So I don't think he minded so much getting traded to Baltimore. And he's pretty excited, actually. At 29, he's actually the veteran because three-time All-Star, Cy Young winner, and all these, you know, the baby birds, all these young kids, he gets to work with them now, and he's actually having a good time with that. He likes being this guy who's been on a winning team for a long time, who has this experience, who's feeding off the enthusiasm of all of these newbies and really enjoying those interactions. So that's pretty cool. I watched the interview with him when the Cy Young Award was announced, which was really very sweet, because, you know, it's one of those things. It's like the videos you see of draft day, where the, you know, the players sitting around, you know, with their family and their important friends and all of this stuff. And that was the case for this. And he really credited his parents. And so we always love that.
Yeah.
After school. So he's got a brother who he always, you know, did sports with as a kid. His mom threw batting practice to them after school every day. Apparently she had a mean cutter.
Nice.
And his dad was the one, he said, he's the one who really got me on the mound. And his dad said this on the day of his call-up. He said, growing up, we played a lot of baseball, but we also played a lot of ice hockey, a lot of football, a lot of basketball. And in any given sport he was playing from age 5 to high school, he thought he was going to be pro in every one of those, right? So as a dad, you just say, go for it. It's, I'll get you to practice. What do you need? Which I thought, what a perfect response from the parents, right? It's not, well, you know, you need a backup plan because not everybody, you know, gets to be. It's like, great, this is your dream. How can I help you?
Yeah, dream big.
You hop in the van. I got you. We'll get you there, right? He, of course, is going to be the opening day pitcher for Baltimore. So I'm excited about Corbin Burns. Also, he yells with gusto from the mound, and that just makes me really super happy.
Yeah, hence those super expensive tickets. That makes sense.
Well, there's that too. Also, you know, that whole winning season situation. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. A lot of frustrated O's fans were like, oh, hey, we might win. Knocking on all the wood I can find.
Yeah.
I'm picking Grayson Rodriguez. He's 25. This is a tricky pick because he's very streaky.
Yep.
It's that when he's good, he's very, very good. When he's bad, he gets sent down, right? Mm-hmm. He's 6'5". He's a tall, tall man. He was the first round pick by the O's in 2018. He debuted this past April, had a terrible start. Terrible start.
Yep.
So he was sent down for like 7 weeks in AAA. And then when he came back, it was like a new pitcher had showed up. This was the guy that we were expecting at the beginning of the season. His ERA for the second half was 2.58, which was the fifth best in all of baseball for the second half.
Crazy.
But he's streaky, right? I've told this story before about you and I were there in Bowie watching him with Adley, where he threw a fastball that went right through Adley's catcher's mitt. I was like, okay, he's fire. He's absolutely fire. I saw an interview with him from way back when he was early in the, like in 2020, right, where he hadn't yet thrown 100 miles an hour. And he was asked, what will your reaction be when you hit 100 miles per hour? And he said, well, I'll try to do it again. And then he also said, I do hope it's to Adley as long as I don't hit him with it.
Yeah, oh, God.
They're pals.
They were together a while.
And he's also a trash talker. So I think he's got a really good time. He has a really good time with his teammates. He said spring training is always fun because Adley warms him up. And then he has to actually, just in practice. And then he has to pitch to him in practice. So that's not really fair. His little brother, and I put little in air quotes, his little brother Garner is in high school and he's 6'7".
He's
6'7". He's a pitcher and he plays basketball. So this may not be the only member of the G-Rods that that you will see. So hold on to your whatever you got to hold on to for this. I picked Tyler Wells, who's 29, mainly because he's super flexible. He's been really important both out of the bullpen and as filling in as a starter for the O's because of injuries and things that you can't foresee and being ready to do whatever needs to be done. He was a Rule 5 pick by Baltimore. They snatched him away from Minnesota in 2020 with the Rule 5 draft. He pitched in relief all of 2021, and then he started 2022 in the rotation as a starting pitcher, right? Did fine. In 2023, this past season, he started in the bullpen, but then Kyle Bradish was injured, and Tyler Wells stepped up and pitched five innings for him, like out of the bullpen, but like pitched as if he were a starting pitcher for five innings. So they kept him in rotation because Bradish was out for a little while. And he was the best O's starter for the first half of the season in 2023 until he slumped. Yeah. They bounced him all the way back to AA and then to AAA for a couple of starts. And then he came back up. And then when he came back up, all was okay again. In fact, he was the one who got the save in the game that clinched the AL East title and their 100th win. So that's pretty, pretty exciting. He has, he's got a lot of trauma, personal family situations that have really given him a lot of strength. His mom died when he was 4 from leukemia. His grandmother died the day he was supposed to start his first JV game. And his dad pulled him out of school to tell him. And he's like, you know what? I want to pitch.
Wow.
And that day, so this whole family came back with him. Wow. And he was, you know, partially raised by his grandmother since his mom had passed away. So she was a really important person. And he pitched that game and he struck out 14 batters.
Wow. Way to focus that energy.
Yeah. And his dad said, yeah, your grandma was with you today. So he really, it was really important to him. Like, he's got his mom's day tattooed on one arm. And then his other arm, he's got a boat that's floating on water, which he says means, like, I'm at peace with all of these things. Wow. I've used these things for strength.
Good.
And, you know, kind of it's kind of fed me. He's done a lot of work with the Pediatric Brain Tumor Foundation. He won a community award when he was in the minor leagues, like one of the equivalents of that. What do you do to help the people around you?
That's
so
awesome.
He's a good guy as well as a very flexible and good pitcher. He'll be great out of the bullpen. If they need him as a starter, he can be in the rotation. So that's all very good. I'm picking Yennier Cano as my reliever.
I'm glad. He really stepped up last year.
Yeah. So I talked about him at length before, so I'm just going to be brief about him. He was the setup man for Felix Bautista for much of last season. He was the eighth inning for Bautista's ninth inning until Bautista was injured, and then he had to take over as closer and talk about big shoes to fill. Like the Rock had to fill the mountain's shoes here. A little bit about his background. He played for Cuba. When he and his wife decided to leave Cuba, they didn't defect. They tried to go through official channels, which took a long time. He had to not play any baseball for an entire year. He said, they watched me. The government watched me for a whole year to make sure I wasn't playing any baseball. Then he got permission to go to Argentina, where they went for 6 months, and then to the Dominican Republic, from where he was signed by Minnesota, international signing in 2019. All that was a big deal, but the biggest deal ever was August 2nd, 2022, when on the same day he found out that he and his wife were pregnant, that they'd been together for 7 years. This was the first pregnancy. He also had been demoted to AAA. And then also they found out that he was traded to Baltimore. And
That's a lot.
Yeah. In the Jorge Lopez trade, right? So all of this happened in one day. So he had a terrible end of the season. He was excited. He was sad about getting traded, but excited to go to Baltimore, but really stressed about this pregnancy, right? So he had a terrible, terrible end of the season. So he started 2023 at AAA. Didn't start on the opening day roster. Got called up in April and then retired the first 24 batters that he faced, which tied an O's record for the start of a season. He says, I think dad strength has definitely kicked in. Ever since my wife had the baby, it's something my family and my friends call me to tell me, dude, since you've had that baby, it's given you a freaking boost because people can't even foul a ball off of you.
Yay.
He played so well that he was an all-star last year, and he led the league with 31 holds. He's a good dude. I'm hoping for great things from Yennier Cano this year.
So are they keeping him a setup with Kimbrel?
I'm curious to see. I mean, none of that's final yet because we still have another week and a half, two more weeks of spring training. So yeah, Kimbrel's probably is going to be the closer for sure. I've trash talked Kimbrel enough that I couldn't in good conscience pick him as my closer.
Understandable.
So but there you have it. I'm certainly hoping he does well in general, but I'm going to go with Yennier Cano.
I think that's very smart.
Thank you.
All right, National League. I am going with the Phillies, despite being a Nationals fan as my B team. But I was debating between the Phillies and the D-backs, honestly, and it was like Zach on Zach, like which Zach am I going to get? But Zach Wheeler, when we went to the Phillies, he pitched very well. He's in his last year of a $118 million five-year contract, and he's sort of like, you know, sniffing around for being re-signed pretty soon. I think it's going to happen. He was much better with the Phillies than he was with the Mets. His agent is talking, saying that, you know, we're in discussions right now. Something's going to happen. He's 33, and this goes back to, like, you know, thinking about Blake Snell and Jordan Montgomery being unsigned. I think at this age, when pitchers are getting hurt so much, I don't blame teams for not wanting to sign, especially somebody over 30, to a multi-year contract. He said, and I quote, "It's not all about the money to me. I took less to come here and to be in a good spot, be happy. I do want what I feel like I've earned." And Phillies manager Rob Thompson said, "I can tell you this, though. Everybody here in this organization loves Zach Wheeler. He's just that kind of guy. And he wants to stay in Philly, and they know he wants to stay in Philly. So I'm hoping that he gets to stay in Philly. We'll see what happens. Hopefully there'll be some news soon." Another thing that just kind of, you know, drew me to him is his brother Jacob is an artist who has shows in New York City. And I know an artist who lives in New York City.
Sure you do. Yeah. I do too, as a matter of fact.
He's looking good in spring training so far. I'm also picking Aaron Nola. So another sort of, you know, solid starter, long-term Philly guy. Hasn't been doing as well in spring training, but they say, you know, it's spring training. He went to free agency last year, but the Phillies paid him what he's worth, and he's back with, this is pretty nice, $172 million, seven-year contract. He is an LSU guy. Hi, Brian. Originally from, so not only went to LSU, but he is Louisiana through and through. He is originally from Baton Rouge. He was voted Mr. Baseball for the state of Louisiana during his senior high school season. Went to Louisiana State and then sort of, you know, makes a play off his name, which is Nola. Uh-huh. So no, N-O-L-A. Yeah, it's a pretty cool thing. I don't know. I was amused by that. Signed with Phillies in 2014, debuted in 15. And being such a Phillies guy, he's really big on the local charity work, which is something that we really love with our baseball boyfriends. He's been giving back to Philly from the start with a variety of things. He was the ambassador for a group called Fans PH, Fans Feeding Families. Only PH on the fans, though, not the feeding or the families. Anyway, so he's doing feeding people in Philly. He hosts an annual bowling fundraiser for the Philadelphia Futures High School Mentoring Program. He's active with the ALS Association, participates in the Shred Hate, you know, the initiative to end bullying and focusing on Philly schools. His brother, Austin, you may have heard, also plays baseball, catcher in Kansas City. So
I'm going to pause you for 1 second today and have you note my shirt, which I wore because it was green for St. Patrick's Day. But it is also my Rougarou's Baton Rouge Summer League shirt. So maybe I wore it for Aaron Nola.
Sweet.
How about that? Look at me supporting you in your choices.
I love it when you think I make good choices. I'm gonna milk that one.
I'm gonna whine about you milking that one. I got to stop using that.
All right. So then I needed another all pitcher somewhere from the bullpen. And I looked, so there are two guys who are both set up as setups. You know, they are both competing as the setup role. And Gregory Soto was suspended 20 games for I could not figure out why. So the quotation that I saw over and over was conduct detrimental to baseball, which I'm not sure if that's a good or a bad thing. It was never explained. I couldn't find anything. So if anybody knows about why Gregory Soto was suspended 20 games, please write to me. It was reported that it was not due to gambling, drugs, domestic violence, or an arrest. So I am perplexed, but I figured might as well be safe than sorry. And I picked Jeff Hoffman. He was released by the Twins in March of 23 and picked up by the Phillies, sent to AAA, had a May 1 opt-out and almost went to Japan. Had pretty much everything but his bags packed. He had a contract offer in Japan. He had picked up an apartment And then the Phillies bought out his contract and actually paid him more than what he would have gotten going to Japan. And he paid them back with having the second best season of his 9-year career. And I appreciate him as a potty mouth kind of guy because there were a lot of quotations by him that included F-man and bull SH-. So, you know, I know what the dashes stand for, I appreciate a fellow potty mouth when I see one. So, Jeff Hoffman, I'm hoping gets to do a lot of setup, and I would love to learn more about Gregory Soto. And then finally, closer Jose Alvarado is the projected closer, fingers crossed. Right now, he is 10th on MLB Network's list of top 10 relief pitchers. He had 10 saves and 64 strikeouts in 2023. He's from Maracaibo, Venezuela, like my baseball boyfriend from the Brewers, Jackson Churio. And his mom and his sister and his two kids came for Christmas of 2023 after 2 years of trying to get a visa. And so this sort of flashes back to the conversation that we had at the end of last season with Brusdar Graterol, when his mom came for the first time in 7 years. And I was wondering a little bit about the why 2 years here and 7 years for Graterol. And, you know, go back to that episode, but it has a lot to do with the chaos that's going on in Venezuela and the fact that there's no U.S. embassy there. And it's really hard for somebody to find an embassy to get a visa to come here. So after the game one of the 22 NCLS, when Alvarado was being interviewed, he said on air and to a lot of people who are listening, "This year I tried to bring my mom to the United States and the United States wouldn't give her a visa. It's so hard for me." So he said that, you know,
use that platform.
Right. And so that's what made the difference, because people were watching, including Philadelphia Senator Bob Casey, who said, "Sure, I will help the Phillies get you a visa for your mom." And the senator's office also in that article was clear that, you know, it's not just being a rock star, but anybody can contact our office to ask for, you know, a little bit of help with the proceedings. And so I contacted Mr. Pottymouth about this, and he somewhat verified it. He did say that this is what happens at the senator's office, and I quote, "can get a case unstuck." So they can't get something approved that wouldn't be approved otherwise.
They can move it along?
Exactly. Exactly. Mm. And I tried to use the word expedite, but apparently that means a whole nother thing in legal language. So it does just make things go faster, which seems like expediting to me. But, you know, I'm not a lawyer. And 2 years instead of 7 years is a long time. Mr. Pottymouth did also say that if he calls the senator's office, it's the lawyer calling the senator's assistant who will bring it to the attention of the senator. So there's some more time involved.
Sure.
Whereas this went right to the senator watching the TV. And so, yes, he probably did get a little bit of preferential, essentially, although not technically, treatment.
And you probably heard from a lot of other people who were also watching that broadcast and said, "Hey, can't you do something about it? Look at this guy. We need him."
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And he needs his mom.
Yep. So, moral of the story, talk to your senator or representative.
Or look at the Dodgers.
Oh, God. The Dodgers. Holy shit.
So, I was a little bit tempted. I was perfectly happy to pull all of my pitchers from the Dodgers roster, but I have more fun being able to dip into
you could.
The O's.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, so I think it's fun. So, okay. Who is not, if you're going to pick the Dodgers, not going to lead with Yoshinobu Yamamoto, who's 25, right?
He's so excited to watch him. I'm so excited.
It's going to be so much fun. So he came out of the Japanese Professional Baseball League. He's a 3-time Sawamura Award winner, which is the Japanese equivalent of the Cy Young Award, the best pitcher in the league.
Wow.
The most interesting thing about him, though, really speaks to what you were talking about, Potty Mouth, with pitchers getting injured and throwing hard. He has changed his delivery multiple times, including when it was sort of against the will of his coaches when he was with the Buffaloes in the Japanese league. And he said, "No, I'm doing it anyway because I don't want to get hurt."
Smart.
I want to play for a long time. I don't want to get hurt. So he's got this long-time trainer. who came with him, actually, to Los Angeles. And he doesn't do any weight training at all. He trains with things like javelins, which help in his delivery. His delivery is very unconventional because it's much more like a javelin throw than it is like a, you know, full startup pitcher wind-up situation. He trains with mini soccer balls and blocks of wood and a yoga mat. These are things that he carries around with him, right? He does handstands, and of course that created a challenge for the Dodgers of who else can do it. And only a handful of other Dodgers could, but Tyler Glasnow is one of them. So I'm happy about that. But other pitchers are kind of watching this. The Dodgers are, as an organization, are trying to learn from this because this is a very unusual approach for pitchers. And he, you know, so far, knock on all the wood blocks that he carries around in his, his little black bag, that it keeps working for him and protecting him from these injuries. Mookie Betts has been watching him and says, okay, I want in. I want to learn more about what you're doing, because it really is very much about injury prevention and how to have a forceful throw, a throw really hard without having to bulk up and lift weights and stress your shoulder, stress all the parts that you end up having to have surgery for if you're a pitcher in MLB. So that's one of the most interesting things about him. He's like, unabashedly, I got my own thing. You're welcome to learn from my thing, but this is how I do things. He's also a vibes guy. Apparently, like, when he's not completely focused and totally zen on his training, he's a hoot. He's a lot of fun, wants to like be friends with everybody, you know, good mood and all that. So that's pretty fun. He's got this 12-year, $325 million contract. He's going to start the second game of the Soul Series, which you're going to hear more about later in the show. And one of the things he did just for fun was he sent a bunch of Dodgers gear to his former teammates on his the Buffaloes team in Japan, which they were very, very excited about. So that's Yamamoto. So he's my number one guy for the Dodgers. And who could not pick Tyler Glasnow, who's 30. He was acquired from the Rays by the Dodgers in the offseason, and until the Yamamoto thing was like the big news for the Dodgers. He was traded for and then immediately signed a contract extension for 5 years and $136.5 million, right? He's from nearby Los Angeles. He grew up going to Dodgers games, watching a young Clayton Kershaw, who's now his teammate. I'm sure that's Clayton Kershaw loves to hear that. Shohei Ohtani is such a recruiter for the Dodgers, right? He was helpful in recruiting Yamamoto, but he actually created a video that got sent to Tyler Glasnow to try to entice him to come to the Dodgers. All right, so we've got this 6'8 pitcher with the long, glorious hair, who we've called the Disney Prince for years now. Genuinely nice guy, according to teammates, past and present. You know what his secret weapon is? Anger.
Oh, right.
Isn't this? This is hilarious. He says that he pitches better when he's pissed. So before he goes out to pitch, he thinks of all the slights of his whole life. Everything, anytime somebody did him wrong, so he can kind of get in that headspace. So he can pitch angry. He says anger is a gift. Isn't that hilarious from the Disney Prince?
Oof. Yeah. I'm concerned about his well-being, though. That sounds stressful.
I think it's probably getting harder and harder for him to conjure these things, because he's like in a really good place right now.
I know. His life gets better.
Yeah. Seems to be okay. Evan Phillips, 29, from nearby Salisbury, Maryland.
Oh, hey.
Isn't that exciting? He was drafted by Atlanta in 2015, picked up by the O's in 2018, and then had a horrible couple weeks. He was DFA'd by the O's on August 1st in 21, picked up by Tampa Bay on the 3rd, debuted the 13th, DFA'd the 14th.
Oh, my God.
Right, so like in 2 weeks. DFA'd.
That's nuts.
Twice. Dodgers picked him up from waivers, and then all of a sudden magic happened. He turned everything around. He was the closer for the Dodgers last season. He had 131 appearances. 131.
That's amazing.
Appearances.
From a double DFA to 131.
Right. He had an ERA of 1.74.
Crazy
as
shit.
The closer for the Dodgers. Last April, so about not quite a year ago, he was on a flight to Chicago for a game, and when he landed, he learned that his wife, Liz, had gone into labor 7 weeks early.
Oh.
Right. So that's scary. Also, they were not ready. Like, this was going to be his last trip before everything was ready. Oh, it's 7 weeks from now. Everything's fine. Don't worry about me.
Right.
And all of a sudden it's like, holy crap, this is way too soon and none of this is ready. So, you know, the Dodgers help him turn around to fly right back home. And in the meantime, Max Muncy's wife, Kelly, who was 9 months pregnant, ready to, you know, deliver herself at the time, is the one who ended up driving Liz to the hospital, right? So Beau was born, everything's fine, two weeks in the NICU, child is perfect, it's wonderful. And surprising no one, his pitching turned, like, it was, just kicked in to be magical, right?
He said, dad power again. You've got double dad power today.
I've got dad power again. He said, I'm going to be a husband and a father so much longer than I'm going to be a baseball player. Aww. And that perspective has really helped.
That's so cool. What a great quotation. That's
my last pick was almost kind of for you. I'm going to go with Joe Kelly.
Of course, just for shits and giggles. I appreciate that so much.
He's 35. I'm doing it because attitude counts, the whole Fight Club situation. And then, of course, I want his wife to be my actual baseball boyfriend because of her whole pitch to, we're giving you Joe Kelly's number if you'll come be a Dodger, which is why Joe Kelly is now number 99 instead of number 17. So those are our pitchers. Yeah. Next week, we're going to give you our starting lineups for our fantasy team and our predictions, which are going to be terrible. They're always terrible, but they're always fun to do.
Is there any other kind of prediction? I don't know. It'll be interesting. It'll be interesting. So also, you gave me a segue with choosing Joe Kelly at the end.
Sure I did.
Because the Dodgers single A Rancho Cucamonga Quakes, you would think they would not be in the need of a Fun Cup identity right there with Rancho Cucamonga. But yet...
That's where Joe Kelly lives, by the way.
In Rancho Cucamonga?
It is.
Wow. Yeah. So you're even making this way better.
Sure, I'm handing it to you on a silver Cucamonga platter.
So even though they're Rancho Cucamonga, they did have... So the Fun Cup is the Copa de Diversión. And in case you haven't been paying attention or listening to us much, it's been this alternate identity that minor league teams have to celebrate Hispanic heritage. And it's been going on for a few years and it just keeps growing and getting more and more fun. So the Rancho Cucamonga Quakes used to be the Temblores, which is literally quake in Spanish. But they wanted to tweak it a little bit this year. And they were thinking about the popularity of the mariachi bands at Dodgers events plus Joe Kelly's swanky White House mariachi jacket from 2020 has been, you know, multiply photographed and it's pretty snazzy.
His mom is Mexican-American, so just so you know, it's not cultural appropriation. He does have Mexican heritage.
Yep. And a very, very snazzy jacket. Also, they decided to go with the name Chaquetas, which literally means jacket in Spanish. And they also thought this was kind of cute because chaqueta, the sound is actually a Q, and that goes with the Quakes, and they were doing some logo stuff. And apparently they didn't consult any Mexicans or Salvadorans in the vetting. They did vet this out. I don't know what background their Spanish-speaking people were, but apparently in Mexico and in El Salvador, and this is something I did not know yet, I'm very glad I know now, chaqueta is slang for masturbation. So when they announced this, there was an initial interesting reaction on Twitter that they did not anticipate. And I'm glad to know this now because I had no clue. I know a lot of bad words in Spanish in various countries. And this is good. Yeah, sure I do. We could do more vocabulary lessons if you want. But I was young when I went abroad. So chaquetas... You know, for me to know that most of my students are a big chunk of my students are Salvadoran. So I'm going to be a little bit more cautious with that word for the time being. So but the bottom line is they're still going to do it. They're still going to because they've put so much into it. So on April 13th is replica jersey giveaway night. So if you want to check out this
so
jersey,
we can all wear chaquetas.
Right. On May 16th is food and drink night. I'm not quite sure what a food and drink. And July 19th is the best Joe Kelly bobblehead giveaway.
Oh, yay.
So the Quakes GM, Grant Riddle, said, you know, language is dynamic. And there could be words out there that mean two different things. And the slang is not what it means to us. Or is it ever what it's going to mean to us here in this community and in the ballpark? So the single A Rancho Cucamonga masturbators are coming at you this year.
So What that means to me is everything's already been printed and we don't have the budget to walk this back.
Right.
And next year we're going to check things more carefully.
Yeah, I don't know. So that'll be fun. All right, speaking of international stuff, right now the Dodgers and the Padres are in Korea and they're having a blast.
Yeah,
and I really
are.
Appreciate it when, like, there were some pictures of Fernando Tatis Jr. and his mom out sightseeing. So for them to take advantage of this opportunity to have so many days out there with, you know, with the jet lag, they kind of had to do it this way. And learn about a different place that maybe they wouldn't be able to go to otherwise. So the games are coming up soon after you hear us. March 20th and 21st are going to be the actual Padres and Dodgers face-offs. Not very friendly for Dodgers and Padres fans who are on the West Coast because they're going to be at 3 in the morning for you guys. However, 6 in the morning for us. So that is perfect breakfast baseball.
Like, sure.
Getting up and watching those games,
and
I think
be
is
And to be fair,
fine.
The real demographic for this are the fans in the stands, not the fans watching
yeah.
on streaming. Yeah.
Who did, like, the greetings at the airports?
Oh, yeah.
Did you see some
yes.
of those videos? Like, it's so cool to see people excited about this them coming. And plus, they're doing exhibition games, like, pretty much right now as we're speaking. Each team played Team Korea. The Padres did that this morning on Sunday, and LA did it, or is going to do this tomorrow. The Dodgers are also playing against the Kiwoom Heroes, who have a few former MLB players on the team. Miami pitcher Emmanuel De Jesus, Texas and Mets pitcher Ariel Jurado, and Houston Cincinnati DH Ronnie Dawson are all spending some time on the Heroes, so they get to play against maybe some guys that they've seen before. The Padres are going to play the LG Twins, who have former San Francisco, St. Louis, Miami left fielder Austin Dean and former San Francisco, Atlanta, San Diego pitcher Casey Kelly. And that's happening right now on St. Patrick's Day. So these count. This is not spring training anymore. These are actual first games of the season. So this is opening day. Happy opening day. This year, the ninth time that MLB has opened the season abroad, and this time they have cheerleaders, and they actually gave the Dodgers their own cheerleaders so that they're not left out, because that's what they do in Korea and a lot of, and in Japan and in Taiwan, they have cheerleaders, so they get cheerleaders.
I like it. On the occasion of the flight to Seoul, Shohei Ohtani finally took it upon himself to say, oh, by the way, remember how I said I got married?
Here
she's
she
real.
Is.
Here yeah. she is. So he introduced his wife, Mamiko Tanaka, who he had previously referred to as a normal Japanese woman, and I don't know what he meant by that, in what way. She is, in fact, a former professional basketball player for the Fujitsu Red Wave in the Japanese League. She played from 2019 to 2023. And the best thing about reading this article on ESPN is they went all sports on it and gave us her stats, saying she shot 47.7% from the field and 69.9% from the free throw line in 28 games last season. So, yay, professional athlete Mamiko Tanaka. And, you know, we wish you well on your marriage to that guy, Shohei.
Right. So did she retire in order to get to, like, be here with him? Because they're, like, that's, I'm wondering about that.
I don't believe that was implied in any way.
Okay.
But,
who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But that's pretty cool. That's
yeah,
pretty cool. I like that she's also a professional athlete.
Oh, huge.
And that probably really helps getting used to the lifestyle. It's like, yeah, I understand what the draws are, what your time is like because of what you do for a living. So I think that's pretty cool. As you all know, my favorite currently 10-year-old in all of professional baseball is Liam Castellanos. There was a lovely piece in The Athletic about Nick Castellanos and basically what he's learning from Liam. Last couple weeks, we talked about how he was parenting from the field when Liam was supposed to be the bat boy and he was busy watching his dad hit a home run as opposed to doing his job, and his dad waited for him on home plate and motioned him over, saying, kid, you know, you have a responsibility. You got one job on the ship. Pick up the darn bat. He's also been so in the offseason, he coaches Liam. Has like fall tournaments. So depending on when Nick's season ends, he can be available for those, as he says, hopefully not until later in, you know, November.
Right.
But okay. And he's had been working with him on base running in the offseason. So when his manager complimented him on his secondary leads, he just started laughing. He said, I have been coaching my kid on base running and leads all off season. And I said, I've been watching him. He's a better base runner than me. Like, that can't happen, you know? So that's how he got better.
That's hysterical.
It wasn't because of his coaching by the Phillies. It was
his coaching of Liam.
And then, like, I can't let my kid be better at me than this. His, Liam also has been studying jiu-jitsu. And so in the off season,
cross training,
Nick Castellanos goes with him to watch because he's a good dad and he's watching his kid do his like extracurricular stuff and then kind of got interested in it. So he started taking private lessons at the same place. And mainly it's to handle physical stress.
Smart.
Right? Because he knows, I'm getting older. I need to switch things up because I want to keep doing this job. My contract's for 3 more years, but I don't want that to be the end of my baseball career. So what do I need to do to keep things
That's
fresh?
Awesome.
So we joke about, you know, how old people are at 32 when they're playing baseball. An actual stat to prove that is last season, there were only 17 players 32 years old or older with enough at-bats to qualify for the batting title. That's the lowest number since 1968. In 1968, there were only 20 teams.
Man, so people are burning out.
People are burning out, or they're not getting the at-bats, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And Nick Castellanos says, okay, so baseball players are either milk or wine, right? Milk is great when it's fresh, goes bad quickly. What happens to wine? It gets better as it ages.
As do your co-hosts right
so
here.
So clearly, you know, he's shooting for the wine part of this equation.
I'm shooting for the wine as well.
We're all shooting for the wine, although we're drinking the Blarney Stone.
Yeah.
And so he ends this article by saying, those are the only two kinds. You're either milk or wine. There's no in the middle.
And we are clearly on the wine side.
Absolutely. We're getting better all the time.
Right. So, I mean, so ice cream's good, but, you know, that's all right.
Sure. Oh my gosh, we are 2 weeks away, less than 2 weeks away from opening day.
So you're commissioner, you're going to be busy.
Oh my God. Yeah, so the next couple days is going to be all about getting everybody ready for the Fantasy League. If you haven't gotten in touch yet and you want to play, please let us know. Potty Muff will tell you how to get a hold of us. You can't actually set your rosters until we tell you who's on ours. So it's going to be a quick turnaround once we do we have our final lineups ready to go. You'll have to get your rosters in pretty fast to get all that done by opening day. So it'll be my hell week. It's like if I were, you know, rushing and it was hazing or something. Not that I care about such things. So that's coming up for me. In the meantime, I have 2 book clubs in like a 12-hour period.
Wow.
I have my my friend's book club, which is, we're talking about a pirate book. I'm very excited about that. And then tomorrow I have my work book club, which we're talking about how to express technical or scientific terms to the general public, which is going to be a little less fun, but kind of cool that I do that for work.
Yeah, that is super cool to do for work.
Although with the pirate conversation, there will be adult beverages and really delicious snacks.
That's so good. Pirate themed?
I don't know.
Rum involved?
I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out. I'm not quite sure what the pirate food other than pirate booty, which I think is not technically a pirate food.
No, but it was cute.
It was cute.
All right, so you want to find us. Let us know who your lineups are. We're on that dark, dark Twitter place, X, as well as the Happy Blue Sky at NCIB Podcast, Facebook and Instagram at No Crying and B-Ball. If you want to throw us a couple of bucks to make sure that this podcast keeps going, please find us on Patreon. And there you also get little bonus episodes, little ones, but, you know, every little bit counts. That's Patreon, patreon.com/nocryingandbball. And you will find us, and we are open to suggestions there as well.
Also, if you want our predictions to be less terrible, feel free to weigh in.
Yes.
And let us know who your picks are for Rookie of the Year, MVP, Cy Young winners, and how the standings are going to flesh out. In the meantime, my friends, get your booster. Fight the man. It's the right thing to do. Send your game balls to Meredith. And until next week, say goodnight, Potty Mouth.
Good night, Potty Mouth. I don't know. I always tweak. It's better than twerking.
I couldn't twerk if you paid me. That's why I cannot be a resident of Miami, Florida, because apparently that's what one does.
You don't have your twerking card.
No. No license to twerk.